Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Okay, what did you want to... So, you wanted to talk about Anime Week in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Okay.
What is your... So, you're working at the con this year?
Yeah, I've been a video director there for 14 years now.
What?
Oh, awesome.
Wait, I'm like, that makes you much older than I thought, probably.
I'm ancient, yeah. How old did you think I was?
I don't know. I assumed... Maybe in your 20s still, but it's hard to say.
I turned 39 in July.
Whoa, yeah, nobody thinks that I'm 32, so. So, you've been video director the entire time, or did you work your way up to that?
Well, my first one was Patrick. He was doing it for the first 3 years. Patrick McCullough used to do it, and then I took over after that and started trying to expand the department as much as I could, and I wound up doing more with my position, like I would be sent off to different conventions across the country to learn how other people do things, and been doing that type of traveling for about the past, what year is this? Oh my goodness, it's been about 10 years, roughly. I've been traveling and seeing other cons and learning from them.
Hmm.
Wow. So you take it, like, really seriously, I guess?
Yeah. I like to try to help do as much as I can to help improve our show as much as possible. And so some of our other people started doing it as well. And, yeah, we want to try to make his AWA as much as fun as possible for people in Atlanta and people across the Southeast.
So you also, but, I mean, you also write for Otaku USA, right?
I still write for them, especially probably more on a website these days. But yeah, I try to post stuff towards Patrick and Joseph and Bao before their awesomeness.
Are you another anime reviewer, or what do you usually review in the magazine?
Normally I just do anime more than anything. I don't really collect too many manga. I mean, like a lot of the manga that I try to grab is way older these days, so, and it's not, I don't think anything, but I think the last thing I collected that was released was the GoGo 13 stuff that the Viz collections, like Carl and Carl Horn and people did. That was like the last, manga that I actually got to work on. Other than that,
they never let me review manga for the magazine, so.
I wrote about the GoGo 13 TV series.
Uh-huh.
And then I knew Carl Horn from before working at OUSA, so I asked him to give me some insight. That's how I wound up being able to do the articles on the website about it, and we have to discuss the manga for a good while.
Sweet. I'll have to read your article about it. I've been collecting some of the GoGo 13 manga, but not all of it, because I want to read the Carl Horn notes mostly.
Oh yeah, you will get a lot of insight from that one piece.
Yeah, that's why I started reading Excel Saga, just so I could read the Carl Horn notes in the back of the book. which is really informative. The manga is really different from the anime. I mean, I like the Excel Saga anime enough, but I mean, I wrote a feature about it for Otaku USA too. But the manga is really kind of a slog, but the Carl Horn notes are amazing.
I can believe that. He is. I learned honestly. To give you an idea of how much I've seen of Carl Horn working, back in the late 80s, first started collecting anime, they were releasing Area 88 from Viz Communications before they became the Viz that you see now. It was Viz Communications or Viz Eclipse or something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but I remember seeing all the notes that you would learn about anime from Carl, like in the back of like several issues of Area 88. I was like, hey, who's this Carl Horn guy? I gotta track him down today. That was like in the late 80s. So every so often he's been popping up at AWA, and you find this really cool guy with a bottle of Crown Royal, and he's chilling, and he's going up serious manga knowledge. And right now I'm putting together the AWA documentary. Kind of a chronicle of all the years that we've been doing this stuff, and I get this one bit of footage, and he may kill me for it. It's a bit of footage of him judging a costume contest, and he's got blonde hair.
Oh, wow. So are you shooting new footage, or are you just using a bunch of archival stuff?
It's primarily archival stuff, stuff that Like, we've got a professional team doing some shoots led by a guy named Rory Gordon. He's a really cool guy. He and his team, they've been shooting for the past, like, 2 or 3 years, so I'm using some of that footage. And using some very old archive footage. I've got some footage from the first one and the fourth and the fifth. Not completely certain who shot those, but I really didn't find out who it was, but I wound up getting my hands on that and a couple of things from a couple of people on my bedroom team, like a guy named Rick Serrano. He shot a bunch of stuff, and I'm just trying to, like, I'm trying to find anybody. I say, hey, you got footage, throw it at me. And I'm interviewing our whole director team, all of our directors, like, as many as I can. And it's like, oh my goodness, how many departments do I have? So you'll hear from Dave Merrill, Lloyd Carter. Dave was the original leader, chairman. Now it's Lloyd Carter. He's like, he leads by being quiet, letting other people take the forefront. Well, he and Brian, our coach, Brian Jones, our coach, they kind of, you find these people sitting in the back smiling like, yeah, everything's going good.
So nice.
Yeah, they're the chairman ninjas, I guess you could say. Life and times of AWA.
I think besides making this documentary and running the video room and researching other video rooms and writing for the magazine, I think Noah wants to know, what is your day job, if you don't mind saying?
Right now I'm kind of between jobs a little bit, but for the most part, honestly, I set up concert stages for Crew One. It's a lot of the different concerts that come here, I try to build them up and walk home with a really, really sore body, but with a nice, decent paycheck.
Like a roadie?
not a roadie. It's all local. Anything that comes to Atlanta at either like Phillips Arena or Lakewood Amphitheater and Verizon and Phillips.
Do you work with roadies?
Oh, yeah, I work with roadies, yeah. I'm sorry, different roadies will come and they'll tell us, they'll put us on different crews and say, hey, you're on lights, or you're on backline, or you're on XYZ, and first we set up the stage, and then they give us our individual assignments, and we go put them in, and it's some very hot days. You can see that. Yeah, helps me lose weight. Yeah. So,
nice.
I set up that type of thing. I try to edit videos just in general for where I can, piece by piece. And I try not to be long-winded.
No, it's okay. I'll just edit it if it's boring or whatever. But so let's see. You asked to be on this show because you wanted to promote AWA.
I definitely. I don't think we've ever really been promoted through like a podcast before. I was like, yeah, this could be cool. Y'all some really cool people. Oh yeah, incidentally, apparently Aaron's really, really good at Street Fighter. I got this picture of you and Daryl trying to kill each other. It's awesome.
I think he beat me with like a perfect score. I don't think I got one punch in. I'm really bad at video games.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like you were about to like take him down with this. You get this. Grr, arg, look on your face like,
oh, if the camera's not facing the screen of the video game. If button mashing doesn't work, I have no chance of winning, basically. That's my
Marvel versus Capcom 3. You'll be fine.
Yeah. It's also a matter of finding the character that works best with button mashing. I found, like, in Tekken 4, it's the bear works really well. There was another one, Soul Calibur. Is that what we were playing? That had the girl with the giant ring that was like a big circular.
The hula
blade?
Hoop.
Yeah, it was like a.
Oh, her!
I was like beating everyone with her.
No, I don't know them though. Try Marvel Capcom 3. Use Thor. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that hammer will destroy just about anything on the bleep planet. Yes, I come with my own bleep button. It's great.
With button mashing. I know, we swear all the time on this show, so it doesn't matter.
I didn't realize that.
Don't worry about it.
I definitely wanted to talk.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't hear you. What happened?
Are you gone? He's gone.
You're
still there.
Back.
Okay.
No, what the heck happened? I hate AT&T. I'm sorry. I love AT&T. I'm in Atlanta. I gotta say, I love AT&T.
Support the local economy.
Even though my cell phone doesn't work in my own house, I love AT&T. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but this is this is a cell phone number?
This is me in the house. This is me at the house chilling. So you can actually talk to me. If it was on my cell, yeah, you wouldn't hear a thing from me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that makes more sense. not a bad impression.
Yeah. Thank you. I do weekends. So, but yeah, AWA, we're, you know, this is like, what year? This is our, 17th year doing this now? Oh, my goodness. Where's my life going? We're trying to have a lot of fun. I do know we've got a couple of Japanese bands coming. Moonbeam, I believe the name of it. One of them is, I think it's called Moonbeam. They're apparently, a J-Music band, and apparently they're going to come perform, and they've got a little message on their YouTube about us, actually. So,
nice.
And apparently they're going to judge our rock band competition that we're doing, too. I wonder how they managed to talk to us about that. Yeah.
Rock band competition? Wait, yeah, like rock band the game?
Yeah.
Oh,
rock
okay.
Band. The game, yeah. The game rock band, they're going to judge the competition. I was like, okay.
doesn't it have its own internal scoring system? How does...
I have absolutely smurfly no idea.
Yeah, but it doesn't give you like style points.
Oh, right. They're also being judged based on...
That might be what they're doing, yeah. I'm just like, okay, I'll trust you. But hey, if it gets people to have fun and do whatever, I'm all for it, you know?
Yeah.
we've got them coming. If I'm sorry.
It's okay.
There's going to be more guests announced on the website. I can't quite say who they are because I don't know if everything's completely official. But when they become official, they are ones I think people will enjoy. I won't say who. I really can't.
Excellent. I'm glad that once they're announced, people will be happy.
Yeah, I promise. Once I heard about this, I was like, okay, if this works out, more power to AWA.
Well,
I really am looking forward to this.
Of what you can tell us, what is hotly anticipated this year?
Hotly anticipated. Well, I did get one thing. This was something I did get cleared from Funimation. They did tell me that this will definitely take place at AWA. We are going to, in the video rooms, we're going to be premiering two things for them. Darker Than Black Season 2 and the Hetalia Axis Powers movie. They did this recent dub of it, which I believe you're both familiar with.
Indeed.
Yeah, we watched the press screening at Otakon together. Yeah. With you, I believe.
With you.
I mean, that was you, right?
right after that, I was bugging him. I was like, yeah, guys, we got to show this at 8 of it. Amen's with you. Yeah. So Adam and Jackie were very, very nice to us. Thank you, guys. And we will be premiering that screening at AWA for the first time anyway.
Wow. Oh, nice.
What else? Let's see. I know... anime-wise, guests, they're going to be awesome. I'm hoping. What else would people want to know about AWA for this year?
Are there going to be new fan parodies? I like the fan parodies in AWA.
You know, there's this group called Wasabi Anime.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing something involving Sailor. Apparently, they did something involving Sailor Moon last year, the Mystery Science Anime Theater 3000 Sailor Moon. Our movie. Apparently, they're doing it with the Sailor Moon S movie this year. How many Sailors are there?
It goes through the whole alphabet. It doesn't, never gets to. No, not really. It doesn't go to Sailor Moon Z.
Enterprise. They're going to be doing their thing. But I know that's one fan parody. We always have. We always have our Japanese animation help. Which was originally started by Dave Merrill a long time ago. He always comes back to host that type of thing.
Yeah.
But he and Neil Nederman will be running around. Neil always brings incredibly good stuff to show was either that anime related or not strictly anime related, but generally fun. Bad dubs. So really bad dub series, and I can't remember the name of.
It's like Totally Lame Anime.
Totally Lame Anime.
I know, because that's where we stole the name of our podcast. Neil Lindemann came to Anime Boston 1 year before we'd ever been to Anime Week in Atlanta, and he did his Totally Lame Anime panel, and he showed a clip from the Transformers where it has one of the Transformers saying, like, "Who are you?" And the guy says, "I'm a ninja consultant for the Decepticons."
Oh, the six shot the Decepticon ninja.
Right.
Yes.
And that's why, so that's when we met him again at Anime Week in Atlanta, like, I gave him a t-shirt that said ninja consultant. I was like, thank you.
So y'all should be glad, because that series just came out on DVD over here about a month ago.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, Transformers Headmasters. The one where Sixshot says that line. It's out over here right now.
Oh, nice.
Sitting at Best Buy.
With the same dub and everything?
I don't know if it has the dub on. I know the subtitles are on there, but yeah, you clearly, in Japanese, you clearly hear him say he's the Decepticon ninja.
Nice. Ninja consultant is different.
That's where y'all got the name. Okay, I can see.
Right.
But do you guys have six modes of transformations yourselves, or?
Well, we can't tell you if we're ninjas.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
But we may only be ninja consultants and not actual ninjas, so we can tell you how to transform six times.
It depends on the day, really.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can barely muster one mode of transformation.
Awake mode.
Awake.
Does that count?
So on the seventh day, you just didn't transform, you just sat.
Yeah, that's maintenance.
Yeah, okay.
That's maintenance day. No transforming.
Nice. We've been to Anime Hell and stuff like that, and Daryl's kind of rip-off panel of Anime Hell. But could you describe for our listeners who have perhaps never been to a convention that had Anime Hell at it, like, what it is sort of like, or...
Basically, they would normally grab clips from not only just various anime that might be goofball or not goofball. He would grab clips from the craziest things from different countries. Like in Germany, they had this whole big thing about a guy called Heino.
Who sings like really weirdly.
Yes. That would be him. Dave will just grab the craziest stuff on the planet Earth, and so sometimes he'll ask the audience if they can, or attendees if they can contribute a little bit beforehand. But he grabs clips from anything across the world and shows it to them, and people get a pretty big kick out of it. It's been one of the most anticipated panels that we have at AWA, and also, as you mentioned, Daryl, his thing where he basically does this thing called the craziest deaths, which is pretty much what it sounds like. All it is nothing but people being destroyed in anime in the most gruesome, horrible ways, and you're just going, oh my goodness, really?
It's true. I didn't see it at Otakon, but he described at great length how because the previous year at Otakon, or maybe 2 years ago, he got in trouble because there were breasts in one of the clips in his right. And so the next year he made it 18 plus, but because it was an 18 plus panel, he really felt like he needed to include like much more violent deaths than normal
to
raise the stakes.
This year I caught some of it. He managed to pull off Fist of the North Star, Bao, and probably the one that got him in trouble the last time, Apocalypse Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. And that was, I think that is officially the third worst anime I've ever set and watched. I don't know. Oh, but
wait, that's the third worst.
Yeah. What are the
top two?
Number two would be and the second MD Geist. MD Geist 2. Because I wrote an article about MD Geist a long while back. The original one is kind of thought of kind of badly, but the thing is, though, it was honestly more in line with the way the OAV market was that was done back then. It was like people were experimenting with new methods of animation, new levels of violence, and they didn't always have the big budget to do a full movie or a full TV series. And then, so it was kind of in line with everything that was going on with like Megazone and Gray, Digital Target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like yeah.
That. A little shade below. But like he did, well, the guy who did it, Koichi Ohata, he did various other shows, Burst Angel, Blue Gender. But like when he did the second MD Geist, I think he was kind of partially funded by Central Park Media.
Yeah, they pitched in money for it because they had such a big success with the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Then he basically decided to do a director's cut, and like he tried to fix some mistakes, and it didn't get better, but it didn't get worse. It kind of went sideways. It's not. I can sort of see what he was trying to do, but it's still not perfect result. But then the second one, he wasn't the director on the first one. I think he came up with the concept, and somebody else did all the actual directing. The second one, you could tell he directed it, and it was really bad. When I say the fight scenes move as fast as I'm talking.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like a slideshow?
Yes, practically. Maybe slideshow might be faster.
It would be funny if they were shot like a Ken Burns documentary, like just stills of the fighting, kind of pans. Because you can do that like with, what is it, in iPhoto on a Mac?
Movie?
Yeah, regular iPhoto, you can set up a slideshow and then like press a button that says like Ken Burns effect. So you could potentially just draw robot fight scenes and then apply a Ken Burns effect from iPhoto and then like add music. I think you're good to go.
Oh my goodness.
You too. You can make MD Geist 3.
All right, so that was number two, but what's number one?
What's the first one? Is it Violence Jack?
Nah, that one's just plain fun. No,
fun?
My first one, and I say it's Odin, the Photon Sailor Starlight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because of the fact that, not so much the animation quality, because for its time, it is very, very good. This was back when, what is it, Nishizaki, he apparently had so many ideas that he never got to throw into Final Yamato or any of the other Yamato.
Oh, finish.
And it's just like, and the animation itself is very, very good. The thing is, it's like the story and concepts are so bad, it pretty much has become the single biggest waste of really good resources. And that's why I call it the worst anime ever. I mean, like, basically, if you're lucky, you're watching the 90-minute version. You're not watching the 140 or 130-minute version, which I don't think they never put on DVD here, but I have seen it, I have endured it. Good Lord. Oh, God.
So, gee.
You're
directing the video program. Are either of these on the schedule?
No. Oh, wait. Actually, I thought about putting Geist on there, though. Although I had this other, this is one guy named Josh, one of my assistant directors. He does this thing called Manime, which is kind of basically, he wants, since there is very little anime really geared towards shonen absolute violence, so the way it had been in the 80s, and especially the 80s, 90s OAV market, he basically likes to do this whole night of programming geared toward that.
And so all Fist of the North Star...
Knockoffs.
There's a couple really violent samurai ones that came out recently. Wasn't there one that Dave and Joel were talking about with probably had Nobunaga in it, but he's like horrible or something and killing people in various ways. They made it sound really violent for them, and they watch like Mad Bull all the time.
Yeah.
So
wow.
MD Geist is one of their top titles.
Yeah. No.
Oh, great.
But now I forget what the name of the show was that they were reviewing, where they were like, grossed out.
He can't enjoy that. He does that every Friday night at midnight. I let him take over the main video room. It's all his. He shows whatever he wants. So Geist might pop up in either that or in regular programming. Our theme this year is Mecha. and I'm a severe mecha fanatic, so I was like, while trying not to neglect people who are into other genres, martial arts or Magical Girl or...
Code Geass.
Pretty much.
Is that a genre unto itself?
Right. It doesn't count as mecha anime, apparently.
I tried to dig up as many really old stuff, old titles as I could.
Good.
I think like I found somebody was subbing Deltanius, which would have been what Voltron could have been a long time ago.
Huh.
Like, okay, I have to grab this. Grab that. We tried older mecha, so Detonator Organ, like personal fave. Newer ones like the Evangelion 2.22, which
right.
is just plain messed up, especially if you're an EVA fan. Oh my goodness. That was one brutal movie.
we caught it in the theater.
Yeah. What was your first thought when you watched that?
I had a hard time parsing it, actually.
Noah says words like that all the time.
But that's accurate. Aaron initially liked it a lot more than I did. I was kind of lukewarm on the notion of sort of restarting the franchise, but it wasn't until somebody actually later explained to me that this is a continuation of the story after the end of the series, and
really?
All of that stuff. Well, sure. I mean, the ocean is red, and they go out, and you can see the outline of an angel that was defeated. It's at the end of the series.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. But I think it's fair.
There's 10-year statute of limitations on spoilers. There's a sea of red blood, and everyone is dead. But then apparently Earth resets. No, it doesn't reset. I think. They're talking about like a cyclical time. Like...
Right. Gendo says that, I think it's Gendo, that everyone will come back.
Hmm.
And so...
So they think that this is them. Okay.
It's not actually, everything is, and it's slightly better this time. So...
Right. Everyone's a little bit more healthy. Like they're working through it.
Yeah. That long sequence in the elevator between Rey and Asuka. Asuka, she actually speaks her mind. For instance, Rey is a lot more motherly, and she's able to express herself, and everyone is just a little bit healthier, as if to suggest that actually the Human Instrumentation Project was kind of successful.
And then they'll probably have to do all this mess again.
Yeah.
And I showed it to one lady who is more of a. She's more of an Evangelion expert than I was, and I wound up quoting her. I remember I wrote an article about it for USA, and I wound up quoting her. Basically, her response, she was kind of like half traumatized, and she was like, "Thank you for warping my mind." It was the first word she uttered. So I was like, "Ooh, yeah, this is." I knew I could tell this is a pretty devastating movie to say the least. Definitely got to talk about the panels for a sec, because this is one thing I've sort of been doing myself. I feel like I'm trying not to completely just self-promote myself here. I definitely want to promote everybody else. First we're talking about the devil, we'll talk about the video game section. I know they've gotten an extra room. They're going to have arcade machines again this year. It's been several years since we had them. They worked to get various arcade machines in there for the attendees to enjoy.
Oh, wow, like the actual machines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yes. So those guys work hard to like build connections, and their work has definitely paid off for the past several years, so it's pretty cool to watch them in action. And we have our gaming section, which is straight gaming, which is tabletop. Lewis Perico, he basically runs runs that whole section. Like, he can talk your ear off about tabletop games and sci-fi and anime and everything. So it's like it basically helps him be a fairly decent game mod or what the person who actually runs the game.
Dungeon master? Game master? Yeah.
Game master, I guess, the type of thing, yeah. And you sort of watch him, and actually he's like, being fairly creative. Apparently, he's going to be really running the BattleTech games. He's going to be pushing that since we are in a mega year. Jason Merrill, our events director. I haven't talked about him, but yeah, he. Oh man, he had to work very hard to corral all the energy speed that we've got. You asked earlier what people should be looking forward to. We do a ball each year. We're one of the first kingdoms to do a prom of sorts, complete with a string quartet orchestra.
Very classy. Very classy.
I've never gone because I never want to like wear black tie or prom type stuff to an anime con. I always want to wear t-shirts.
Yeah, for one night, it's become one of our biggest well-known events. This year, we had the Mecha Pilots Ball.
And they'll all be in like their dress uniforms.
Yeah, that is very
cool. That's so cute.
Yeah. Really, that is very cool.
That's adorable. I kind of want to go.
And I see them our work days where like they're like painting these walls and they have mannequins to help set up various bits of what clothing might be needed. is that for the costume? I think that might be a cosplay. I see like all these backdrops and everything. Like each year they're working very hard to build these sets up and everything. And so basically Friday night will be the Mecha Pilots Ball. Saturday will be the Bebop Lounge. Basically, it's a jazzy, loungy type affair. We also have the Video Art Track Dance. Video Art Track is that's run by Derek Jackson, Derek Tingro.
Oh, we love the Video Art Track. Isn't that like the AMV track?
Yeah, it's AMVs plus more. We accept live action submissions and original creations. So it's more than just AMVs. It's truly grown over the years. It's grown to have a very big following on animemusicvideos.org. They tend to treat the awards. They're kind of like I don't want to say too much like the Oscars, but it's like along with it's fairly well thought of them. Awards to have alongside Otakon and Anime USA.
Yeah.
When
we went to Anime Week in Atlanta, we've gone twice and we really like AMVs and I like fan dubs and like fan parody work and so
you can live in that room for a long time.
You can, and like all of my favorite top creators from animemusicvideos.org were all like hosting panels. And then the best part about that AMV contest is how they have at the end sort of like the pro category for people who have, you know, won a bunch of stuff or they video edit stuff professionally. And then are like the most awesome videos, but they keep them kind of in a separate category.
Yeah. The pro, actually pro contest is a different type of contest actually. I know that's what it would imply, that basically you are professional if you say you are. The way that works is basically, with no names attached, the creators submit all to a given FTP site or sort, and all the creators judge on each other who did the best in each category.
Right, without knowing the authorship.
Without knowing who the other is, it's all blind judging among all the other people. So that's what the pro contest, and then there's the expo contest, where basically it's. You know, they leave the names on and they just throw everything in. We host open judging among the staff. Like everybody on the staff goes to a given location and we all watch. And it's been known to take 2 or 3 weekends, sometimes just because there are so many submissions. And it's you got to sit through everyone, and some of them are not what you want to sit through, but you.
we've spent plenty of time doing that.
I'm putting this out there right now. If anybody makes me sit through an AMV called Tub Girl, I will stab them.
Whoa!
Ooh.
I will fragging stab them. This is the only AMV I've ever seen. Although it's been a little time since I actually had a chance to make the judgment, but it's the only AMV I've ever seen that cleared the room.
Oh!
Yikes!
Nice.
Ran. No.
Whoa. Was it really long? Or
no, it's
30 seconds and it clears a room.
I'll tell you later.
Called Night Shift Nurses.
Yes.
I'll tell you later.
I think I've seen Night Shift Nurses 2 or 3, not the first one.
Just go with that and you'll get an idea why.
Oh, that sounds more like Ambi Hell Zero, the one with all the hentai. It was the worst.
Yeah.
But,
Noah had to take off?
Huh?
Noah had to take off?
No, he's here.
I'm here.
Oh, no, I thought you said you were going. I was like, oh, no.
I said that I'll explain to Erin later.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Explain to her later because, wow. Delicate ears. Wow, yeah.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to save this file, but we'll still be on the line with you. I get paranoid that, like, Audacity might crash. So
oh, no, I can understand that.
Sometimes I stop.
I'm the same thing when I try to edit myself, so. Oh, man.
It's gotten a lot better. Oh, hold on. There we go. All right, I think we're back up. Yeah.
Awesome.
Audacity is a little bit, like, the older version of it used to crash, and then you'd lose a bunch of files, or more accurately, it would save your files, but not in a timeline, but rather in a bunch of tiny chunks that you could reassemble by hand, but the files weren't necessarily ordered sequentially. It was really interesting.
Right, but tiny little chunks, we're talking about, you know, 30,000 bytes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Erin would then painstakingly reassemble them, which is crazy.
I may have done that a couple times. There was like a program that would help you reorder it. But not really save it. I don't know. But when they came out with the second version, that's not really an issue. Anyway. Yeah, Audacity. It's the fun free program everyone uses to record audio. Woo! Using it right now.
Let's see. What else is going on this year? We got the Zombie Animes are doing a few programs of their own. I believe they're doing the Sailor Moon. Mystery Science Theater thing. They're also doing Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a whole couple of hours dedicated just to that. I can't remember offhand. I know there's like three other panels that they're hosting for us. Seem pretty fun.
I'm doing three panels. I should tell you
times. I specifically wanted to talk to you because, like, I know you're doing three of them. Which ones are you doing?
Hold on, I'm like pulling it up a second. It was really amazing when I applied for panels, not like at other cons. They emailed me back like right away, and they were like, "Here are the times on the schedule to give your panels." And I'm like, "Wait, what? It's not for months. I don't even have a plane ticket yet." But they were like, no, here it is.
Yeah, it's like it's been the same group of people doing this for 17 years. Almost as though they have it down to a science.
Yeah.
We kind of get it, we get it right the 17th time.
The 17th time's the charm.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've gone twice before, and I wish,
it was great both times.
It's tough because we have to fly out to go to it. But it's really, of all the conventions that we can go to, it's probably the convention that's best geared towards our interests.
Because it's old people. No,
because it's old people. That's right.
Yeah. We try to give a lot of the newer fans something to enjoy as well. But we do not leave. I've been director for 14 years. I've honestly actively been collecting since 86, I believe. 86.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to watch a lot of different anime in that time. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of older titles that will simply never come here. Just due to economic feasibility and the nature of the business. You know?
Yeah.
So we try to give people a sample of that as well as the stuff that's coming out as quickly as it is in Japan today, working in conjunction with Funimation, Sentai Filmworks, Bandai. Media Blasters, write stuff. Everybody's been very, very kind to us because they recognize that we really want to promote Japanese animation from just about every era.
Yeah, and there are a lot of, not to make it sound like a geezer con, because there's always like a bunch of young people there. Like the average age at Anime Week in Atlanta is still like about the same as other conventions.
Oh, yeah. And
those kids are going to the rave, going to the cosplay or whatever. And
oh, yeah.
They may not be going to the Anime 1981 panel, like we are.
Not necessarily. They, we just want to give them the option of learning what came before.
Right.
Right.
Well, some of them will. Some of them will be in there.
Yeah. Oh, so I brought up my panels. My panels, on Friday, I'm doing unusual manga genres from at 6 p.m., perhaps in panel room 106. And then on Saturday night at 9 p.m., I'm doing a brand new panel that's called 21 and Up Manga and Anime. And that's kind of a spinoff of unusual manga genres and culinary manga, where like I'm just doing anime and manga and some live action drama series that are about drinking. So
awesome.
It's like the anime and alcohol, like I think it's an 18 plus panel technically, but like right, 21 and up is the joke. So I'm gonna be, maybe I wonder if Ed will give me copies of Drops of God to give away. I bet he would.
I'll bet he would.
His manga just came out. I'll have to ask him. And then on Sunday I'm at 2 p.m. before the convention's totally over, I'm doing culinary manga, which I think is a good kind of laid back panel for Sunday.
Yeah, for Sunday afternoon.
These are both, so all three of these panels are spin-offs of unusual manga genres, which I've put on the podcast, but the one that I did at Otakon that I recently released as a podcast was, Otakon like didn't approve, they only approved one panel for me, and they approved unusual manga genres, but long ago, because I've been doing unusual manga genres for like 4 or 5 years, I started having so many food titles that I made like a separate panel. and that's what the culinary manga panel is. And in order to add a little bit more depth to the culinary manga panel, like at one point before some convention, I had a bunch of other like anime bloggers and podcasters try recipes found in manga. And then we took pictures of the results and kind of like reviewed them in the panel.
Oh, cool.
And that's not the part. I didn't get to that part at Otakon. Instead, I like merged the old food category back into the unusual manga genres panel, and that's why the panel was like 400 slides long.
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration.
It was literally like 300-400 slides. I do get through almost all of them. I'd say I had only dropped maybe 10% or 20% of the slides.
You know, between hearing this and watching Top Chef, I'm getting hungry.
Exactly.
It sounds pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
When is that again?
On culinary manga is on Sunday at 2 p.m.
I think I am doing one other panel. Go ahead.
It's culinary manga is also like I did put that panel. Like I recorded it at or someone else recorded it at New York Comic Con last year. So that's also in my podcast feed. If you go back, so if you totally miss it, it is online. Like the audio is not that great, and I might include new stuff this year, like that Soman manga that Erica Friedman recommended.
Cool.
But I do try and keep adding new stuff to each of these panels, so it's not like verbatim. Although, what I usually ask at the beginning of each of the panels, like if anyone has gone to this before at another convention, and usually people haven't. Like, there's very little. There are only a few people who keep going year after year.
Yeah, but there are people who have shown up based on word of mouth from previous panels.
Oh, really?
So
gaining a good rep.
And Otakon went really well, despite the fact that we went on at 9 a.m. and were expecting that nobody was going to be there.
Yeah.
The room filled up, and we didn't even need to buy donuts for everyone. I mean, we did. We did buy donuts.
We bought donuts for the first few people.
Fear,
who showed up.
But I guess it turned out that we didn't need to.
Yeah.
Learn from the cops.
And even like the tech guy who was there to help us, the AV guy, he was like, hey, good panel at the end. And I was like, he's had to sit through all the panels, and he complimented me. Right?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing three myself, and apparently one of them, I think, if I remember correctly, one's kind of opposite yours.
What are your panels?
Let's see. Friday night myself, I'm doing a panel about literary classics that have been turned into anime.
Oh, nice. There's a lot of those.
And Robin Hood, Tom Sawyer, and if we go from there to more recent stuff like Romeo and Juliet, and my personal favorite, Count of Monte Cristo. Like, I consider that the best anime series of the past decade.
Really,
Gankatsuo?
Yes.
Wow. We never finished watching it.
It took a lot of risks, but retained the point of what was supposed to take place in that novel, and it was wonderful.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
It certainly had really awesome design.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the designs were like, it was one of those things where, like, did I just see that move? Okay, this thing will stop moving, but, man, I'm starting to like it. I mean, I think Gankutsuo could be the anti-drug of anime. You don't need drugs. You just look at it and realize you're right.
Yeah. It's like a trip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like the modern version of American Pop, if anyone remembers that movie. But yeah, like, so yeah, we try that. That's Friday's literary classics and anime. Saturday is something I've been building toward since we did the. Normally each year I do something called the Mech Fest, where just kind of like this, these old school mech shows for 2 hours. But since this is the Mecha year, I decided to amp it up and do something called the Best Damn Mech Fights Period. It's basically 3 hours of me going crazy and giving this, myself and this guy named Brian Powell. He's a really cool guy, and also very well versed in mecha anime. He has a site called Mecha Aficionado. Basically, we're taking our favorite fights as well as stuff, some that we've asked for. We've taken suggestions on Facebook and on our website about which fights the audience might want to see as well. And for 3 hours straight, so all of that up there, along with some music videos and opening sequences and giving away random prizes and just try to have a good time watching all this stuff, watching metal on metal. Hunks of humanoid metal beat the holy hell out of each other for 3 hours straight.
Rock'em sock'em robots.
Yeah,
there you go. And then Sunday, is our final one is at 2 p.m. It's the Gundam panel. Myself and this woman named Rachel Buckman. I first met her, she was at a, I believe I first met her either at MomoCon or one of our sister, one of our contemporary conventions here in Atlanta, or as well as there's this other convention that I like going to called Anime Central in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah, we went once.
We went there once.
Yes, it's pretty cool. It's currently run by Rosa Halcombe, but like I'm not certain who was running it before, but it's a pretty nice, it's a very nice show. It's a very big, grand show, and I enjoy it a lot. And when I first met her, my first mental image is that she's wearing she was cosplaying a character from Zeta Gundam and Double Zeta called Haman Karn, a very powerful, ruthless redhead who just kicks ass and flies to Kibali and kicks butt. I like her. And Rachel was wearing this outfit, and like, I don't really see people cosplay anybody from 80s Gundam much, so we got to talking, and I wound up recruiting her for, I did a Gundam panel last year, where she and I were there, and talking about different elements of fandom, and we also had Michael Sitonicholas of Kappa Mikey and Venture Brothers.
Sure,
and,
sure.
Oh, yeah, I know him well, because I worked on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so...
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He also is the English dub director on the currently released Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah, he did a really good job. I got to review some Gundam Unicorn for Shelf Life, and I think Sinonicus did a really great job in his part in that.
I've met him, and he hadn't talked... come to the panel, talk about the process of putting this type of stuff out, how important it is to like be like the first one of the first or not only anime to be released simultaneously here in the United States and Japan, and like how important it is to like support such a project and try to keep the economy flowing in both the United States and Japan towards that art. It was a very good chance to have a good insight into the whole process of getting anime produced. This year is going to be an hour long, so the panel is not going to be quite as long, but we're going to basically try to discuss some of the lesser known Gundam shows like Victory Gundam, Gundam X maybe, and F91. We normally had been, many of us had been either fans of Wing, obviously, since it came on the United States a long time ago, as well as some people like G, some are of the C generation, and some are of the 00 generation, and others are more into the classic UC series like Mobile Suit and Zeta. But we're trying to like gear this panel towards the ones that are still pretty cool and aren't talked about much. And also there is the fact that like a couple weeks prior to AWA, they will Bandai Entertainment will be releasing the original Mobile Suit Gundam TV series, the first box set.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think that's September 13th, the first box set, the Anime Legends box set of Mobile Suit Gundam will be released. We'll be talking a bit about that.
Is it like regular DVD or like Blu-ray?
No, regular DVD.
Is it going to be like, wait, it's Bandai, so is it like $1 million?
I can't remember. It's a regular, like, decently priced. I mean, let's see, Mobile Suit Gundam, if I remember correctly, is 43 episodes.
Yeah, it's really long.
So I'm going to guess 21 or 22 will be in the first box set.
Oh, okay.
I think the price is probably going to be roughly $38, but don't quote me on that completely.
Right.
It seems like a pretty reasonable price for it.
Huh. I wonder if I could review that for Shelf Life. Well, no, the trouble is watching it all in one weekend. I guess if it's 26, if I do like two other short things.
Yeah, it's a really cool. I watched some of the original kind of like in various ways, and it's kind of fun to watch the difference between that and the movie compilation that he did, where they changed some elements of the story around.
Yeah, I've seen like the movie, like the first movie or second movie. Maybe I fell asleep during them, but the movies were clearly good. Like, maybe I was really tired at the time, and this was like 8 or 9 years ago, so I no longer exactly remember what happened. But I did find that the movies were like an acceptable way to sort of get caught up on the original series.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely be talking about that. We really want to like give props because like this franchise has been one hell of a, you know, right alongside Star Trek and Doctor Who. It's like one of the oldest, most enduring franchises in science fiction.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
A lot of fun to like take in all the stories and how the cultural impact and everything in between, toy model and model collecting and building, toy collecting, music, painting, bubblegum.
Or there's that cafe. We didn't go to the Gundam Cafe.
I never made it to the Gundam Cafe. I'm depressed. I never got to make it to that. I never got to see the big Gundam statue that they had up there and everything. I still regret that.
The statue was still being built when I was in Japan in 2009. Like, they had, I don't know, like, the feet. Like, it was almost there. And, like, 2 weeks after I left, they unveiled it, that kind of thing. So that's disappointing. although I'm not that big of a Gundam fan anyway. But I think the cafe is still going on. Like, Ed took a picture of himself holding a char-themed ice drink last weekend, so.
Well, he claims
it didn't look like his hand. I was like, this doesn't look like your hand. He's like, that is totally my hand. Like, shoot.
Oh my god, I would love to go to that. I'm still trying to find a really good toy of the O. It's this one mech from Zeta Gundam. It looks like, when it's flying, it looks like a fat guy sitting in a chair holding a shotgun.
It sounds like the best
Italian mech or something. I don't know.
Gundam, get off my lawn.
Kids, get off my lawn, Gundam.
What's it like to owe money to 10,000 yen to a Japanese guy named Dominic? I don't know. See this mech? I don't know. yeah, it's one of those goofy things, but those are some of the things I personally am involved with. There's like so many events that we're doing. Obviously the costume contest. Speaking of the costume contest, there was something new we're trying this year.
The what?
Yeah.
What is it?
Back after AWA5, the skit element of costume contest kind of got out of hand, and
I remember those days.
Yeah,
I wasn't at AWA, but I was at ACON.
It got out of hand.
They'd have these epic skits that would go on for like 9 hours.
Oh,
and that was just one entry.
That's a lot of stuff happened, and so the following year we're trying to say, okay, do we want skits or not? And they basically tried it where after the contest was over, they were like, okay, we're just doing the skit portion, and the audience left, except for like maybe 8 people.
Right.
Oh.
Okay. Not really having skits. But this year, that was like AWA6. So now AWA17, we are bringing them back. We finally have programming. We currently have been using the Renaissance Waverly Hotel connected to the Galleria. Across the street there has been a Sheraton that has been mostly primarily been an overflow hotel. We're now starting to do programming there, and we're doing an all skit room. Yeah, for like a few hours, we're going to have that whole section open, and basically people can go and perform their works and do what they like, and try to like build that up a bit slowly. But people have been asking for skit to return to Masquerade, and we can have more skits on more people showing off their costumes, and our focus for doing the costume contest is the costumes, the work that these men and women put into their outfits.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we've seen other cons handle it different ways too. Like, we've only been to Anime Expo once, but the year that we went, there was like, they had a serious masquerade with some awesome skits, which I don't normally say, but there was nothing else to do during the programming at that time. But anyway, like the really well orchestrated skits were on a main stage. But then besides that, throughout the con, they had like the, I want to call it the cosplay cafe, because they call it that in some other con. But like they had a small stage that was sort of like off to one side outdoors for like the skits that didn't make the contest, so they were more like the less well-rehearsed, sort of off-the-cuff kind of skits.
Oh, okay.
So it was just sort of ongoing. And I think New York Comic Con has done something kind of similar, where, like, sure, they have the big masquerade at one point, but they also have, like, more low-key skits just going on continuously at a stage that's, like, off to one side of the con. That's, like, it's actually kind of weird.
And there have been some excellent, really extraordinarily well choreographed skits in the past couple of years that now we have YouTube, which, you know, we didn't have in 1991, 92. But I, for one, I grew up in Denver, and well, actually, yeah, those are my old chums.
Here.
I don't know if they're still running, but yeah, I mean, Dave Merrill was sort of part of the group out there.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't actually, this was long before, Nandescon in, 89, 90.
Okay.
So StarCon and Starfest, there were two science fiction conventions, held by the same group of people. And there were several, stage combat troops that would put on just incredibly elaborate skits. And
that troops.
Yeah, that were really sort of, and they were doing them, you know, it's not like,
they were like theater actors, but
they
were
certainly, they were professional actors.
Also fans.
But it's not like they were seeking anything but status and recognition. They put in, you know, a lot of time and effort in special effects and all kinds of stuff. And I have a few of these on VHS. I'm wondering when they're going to start cropping up on YouTube, because I'm sure that lots of people sought tapes of these. They were just called The Guys, you know, and every year you'd want to know, you'd want to see what The Guys had cooked up, next. And, you know, sometimes it was like a big Next Generation fight scene. I remember that probably the best thing they did was it was the year that Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade came out. And it was a really elaborate Indiana Jones fight sequence. And for whatever reason, about 1992, they stopped performing. But I also heard from other people sort of around the country later that for whatever reason, those sorts of elaborate sketches just sort of fell out of favor. So
I think some people really do want to have more chance to have more time to focus present their costume. I've seen different places handle it differently. Like you said, Expo is well known for doing a lot of the elaborate works and everything. Going to Central, they handle costume contests very well. One of the best I've seen in the country, honestly. Excuse me. Especially with the way they're set up, and I guess the way their stage and sound and lighting is set up, more or less to hide the flaws, so they can give a good presentation. Anime North. Oh my goodness. This sort of is a takeoff of what I've seen, but like an Anime North, for example, is the they have incredible energy. Like on Sunday, when you normally see a con started to dwindle down, like about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, those kids are still jamming. I couldn't believe it. The energy they had. But the one thing that's kind of cool, they have professional wrestling there, and basically it's professional wrestlers in cosplay. And when I went, and they actually will team with like some actual professional wrestlers you might see on WWE or TNA, and got to meet this woman named Austin Kong. She's huge lady. She's great though. the year I went there, she was there, and a guy named Shark Boy was there.
Shark Boy.
Shark Boy got into a tag team match with a guy dressed as Elmo. Now, apparently Elmo is this fixture there. And when I saw it, Elmo won. But it was, basically it was kind of funny because like all the kids would cry if anybody started punching at Elmo.
Wow.
But Elmo ends up winning with this move called the Canadian Destroyer. It's the most messed up thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think the fix is in.
Imagine a sun. For those not familiar, imagine a sunset flip, except you roll into a pile driver. It's nasty. But Elmo did it.
Whoa.
Like, okay! Wow. Oh, and then the best match was they had the two main characters, Light and L, I think the same.
Death Note.
They basically had a wrestling match called a Death Note on a pole match. Whoever can get to the Death Note and write the opponent's name gets to watch their opponent die 45 seconds later.
Nice.
With the whole audience counting down.
That's pretty
was great.
Who won?
I think... Who's the guy... you have one in the trench coat and one not in the trench coat?
Light is probably the one in the trench coat.
Light's the one in the trench coat?
Well, the one with crazy black hair who eats candy, that's L.
Okay, I think it was L that won.
Okay.
Ah.
Hooray.
Yeah, he got the note, wrote his name, and 5, 4, 3, 2, click. Yeah.
That's what should have happened in the series.
So, it was... I've seen some wild events at all these conventions all across... Oh, yeah, I can't even just say North America, or the country. I gotta say North America now because we got Canada.
Yeah, because we're in Canada.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it's really fun learning from every last one of these conventions. Everyone has a strength to them, to the way that they cater to their audience. We try to like bring as much as we can, the whole group of us, like try to bring, try to bring as much as we can to Atlanta and give the kids here and adults something to enjoy as much as possible and something to learn from.
Yeah,
totally.
It's been 17 years I personally have been helping with this. It's been lots of fun. Don't think I'm going to be doing this quite for 17 more, but but it's still lots of fun to do that and put the effort into it and put as much effort as we can to put our brand out there as much as other cons do theirs.
We're really looking forward to it. I'm really happy that we're going to be able to make it out this year.
I want to check out these panel that you do the manga genres one. Sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, you should on Friday. What was I going to say? This was...
Friday evening at 6 p.m. 106.
Yeah, oh wow, you've got it memorized. I don't have it memorized. I'll figure it out when I get there. Do you have like a date that you're aiming for about when you're going to complete the documentary? Or a guess?
Probably, I'm going to try to have it done by spring. Because like, I still have a lot, there's still more directors I got to interview and I'm kind of just having to do it sporadically. That's the way life is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why documentaries are made.
But like before, hopefully before convention season's when we're like always traveling, and that's when things sort of get busy. So I hope to have it done before convention season next year.
Or have like a cut by 2012, something like that.
Even if the world ends and serious asteroid that Bruce Willis can't save us from, or something like that, or what they do in that stupid movie? Had an aircraft get dumped on the president and
Yeah. No, the one Noah's looking at me quizzically. No, it's the one where all of the crazy nature things happen at once. Like,
oh yeah,
New York freezes and there's tidal waves.
Hasn't that happened
earthquakes.
A couple of times now?
Yeah, but this. He's talking about this specific one where everyone's like evacuating in a ridiculous way.
Hey, the president says, we have a chance to save a bunch of people in the free world. Where's the president? Oh, he's going to stay and die. Okay, good hunting.
Right. Yeah.
What?
We did not see that one. Even the trailer was like just so laughably bad that I could not even for like you couldn't really. You'd have to like pay a lot for me to see it.
Aaron's mom did.
Of course she did. She likes disaster films, I think. Which doesn't make sense. She doesn't like stressful movies.
Oh, my God. Yeah, anyway. I can't even... I don't know. Either watch that or...
Oh, it's called The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Was that it?
Yeah, which my mom continually refers to as The Day Before Yesterday because she gets titles wrong all the time.
How do wolves get to ride in an oil tanker?
They escaped into the library in New York City. That's my understanding. Anyway.
That's it. Yeah.
I listened to the Greatest Movie Ever podcast about it, and I think that's much more amusing and shorter than the actual film. So
probably more enduring. Yes, probably endurable. Like, yeah, I'm something tells me Conan's going to wind up on that podcast. I feeling.
Maybe.
I want to find one that destroys Transformers just because I hate Michael Bay when he's done.
I've heard it's like robots in a blender. Is that
No. That was that one reviewer who said that it's like staring into a blender
staring
for 2 hours.
I haven't seen it. But so we've got about an hour of stuff. That's pretty good. I remember what I was gonna say now, which I forgot earlier. About 3 or 4 years ago, there was like an Anime Weekend Atlanta podcast where they put out like 3 or 4 episodes of shows that were mostly like songs by the musical artist, and one of them, I think, was just someone who worked for the con on a local radio show, just saying like what was going to be the con, and then they just put that onto their podcast. The music shows they put together were like really great, and I saved like those files from that podcast and listened to them a bunch of times. I think it was the year they had the Captains. And
wait a minute, was it a female radio host?
Maybe, I don't know. I mostly listened to the music one. I think it was a guy though.
No, okay, it's not the show I'm thinking of.
Maybe the guy was a guest, but it could have been the girl as a radio host. I don't know. But I also want to sort of apologize that I know you're trying to promote the con on our show, but we only have like 60 or 70 listeners.
I know, but they're the best listeners.
They're the best listeners, and a lot of them are probably already going to Anime Weekend Atlanta.
Hey, you know, maybe they'll come. You know, we got to go tell it on the mountain. Over the pocky and
Tell it on the podcast.
You know?
No filking, 100%.
Oh, no filking. That's right.
No filking. Oh,
there's only one rule in this household, and I just broke it.
And I'm getting ready for DragonCon in a couple weeks. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
We've never been to DragonCon, but maybe we will
someday.
That's the next. I don't know when we're going to get down for that, but.
That one is an adventure in itself. I will say that it's a spectacle. Between it and San Diego, you got like two of the biggest spectacles for just people watching fans of comics and sci-fi and whatnot. It's a heck of a show. They're honestly different. They're both very different shows, but. They each have pretty cool strengths. Basically, San Diego, you go to watch premieres and movie premieres, and actually tour that this theater's room the size of a football field.
Mm. It's quite large.
Yeah.
I want to say more like an airplane hangar,
or an aircraft.
An aircraft carrier.
This is monstrous. DragonCon, you're going there to enact one of the many various. Subgenres of fandom, sci-fi, fantasy, comics, literature, whatever your thing, You get to do it at Dragon Con, and you also go for the parties, because the nightlife is like no other convention. Right, it's like about 30,000-40,000 people, and spread about four or five hotels, and it's hellified.
Well, maybe next year. Maybe next year.
I highly recommend experiencing both at least once. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, we've been to San Diego twice.
Twice, in fact.
Yeah, that's right. I ran into you guys.
Yeah, we did. You went out to Yakitori once. It was
before I saw you guys. Yeah.
Wasn't that like the greatest restaurant?
Yes.
It was.
It was a Japanese restaurant, and it was wonderful. Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah. Ed Chavez picked it out because I think they had like a coal burning furnace, and it was like yakitori meat on sticks. I think no.
I know it's a little something. He helped me find my cell phone during Otakon. So.
Oh yeah.
Smart man.
I forgot about that.
Oh my God, I kind of owe him a drink. But yeah, I lost my cell phone for a few hours, and I was like, I can't cover it. I can't go to all the panels I want to. Oh, hey, Derek, you thought about doing this? Hey, wait, he's right. Hey, thanks, man.
That's funny, because Ed has lost his cell phone in my presence, and I have been unable to help him retrieve it.
Oh, man.
And you're at Comic-Con. It was rough. I think it might have been a BlackBerry or something, too. But anyway, he never got it back. Okay. Now we're getting some weird line noise. So I think we're going to call it a night.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much. I definitely appreciate it.
It also helps us make one, maybe two shows towards our 100th episode, which we're trying hard to get to.
I don't know what this wee stuff is. This is a monomaniacal obsession that Aaron has.
I'm trying to beat Anime World Order to 100, and I know they haven't. You laugh, but they actually have like 300 episodes. They just don't count them all. They count like bonus episodes or different episodes. We don't have bonus episodes.
Hey, yep. They're going to be there as well. You guys, maybe I think you guys team up on one big monster podcast at AWA or something like that.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, we hope to.
In the works.
I mean, we've done that sort of thing before.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And the listeners really like it when we do like super big, all the podcasters. Shows.
Destroy all podcasts.
Yeah. Destroy all podcasts.
I like that name.
Or podcast Final Wars.
Oh no, it's Kedra.
Which one am I?
So
I
thanks.
Call Mothra.
It's good to have you on.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me. Noah, Aaron, y'all are wonderful people.
No problem.
I probably will bow before you.
not necessary. Not necessary, but we will see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
All right, take care, guys.
All right,
yeah, you too.
Bye.